Good morning. A couple of months ago, I walked into my living room, and as the case is a lot of the times, the television was on and nobody was in the room. But there was a movie on the television, and I sat down on the couch and started to watch. And this is a movie that I normally would not watch. It's probably written more along the lines for teenage girls. But there were 4 to 6 main characters on this particular scene that was on the television. And each one of them, as the camera flashed to each person, they had one line of dialogue, which they all repeated the same thing over and over again. And as the camera came to them, and it was their turn, they said, "Oh my," and then the misuse of God's name. And now this is nothing new on television, and this has been going on for years. In fact, if I were to guess, I'm going to say that's probably the number one phrase that they use on television. But what hit me here was just how much God's name had become nothing more to this world than just a punchline. It's used just about in every situation. It's used to express almost every emotion on television. I listed a few of them here. Joy, sadness, trust, disgust, fear, anger, surprise, anticipation, shock, horror, and gratification, just to name a few of them. I don't remember what it was. I remember seeing a girl on television take a, it was probably a dessert, and she took a bite out of it, and she's like, "Oh my, this is the best thing I've ever had." It was just shocking, just how it come down to that. Now, we understand this as the breaking of the third commandment, or taking God's name in vain. But is this the only way that we can take God's name in vain? So let's take a look at the commandment over in Exodus 20. Exodus 20, verse 7. Exodus 27. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain." And what we need to do here, we need to take a look at what's actually said in this commandment and what's not said. Because there are groups today who focus only on the names of God. And for them, the correct pronunciation of God's name has become a way of salvation to them. In other words, unless you can correctly pronounce the names of God, you have no chance to be saved. Now, we know that's not biblical. Nowhere in the Bible does Jesus instruct us that we have to be able to pronounce his names correctly. And then there is the opposite of that. You have people who will not use any of God's names. There are a group of Jews today who will not write any of God's names. They will opt instead to write G-D. They don't want to write it down. But again, here, nowhere in this commandment are we prohibited from using God's name. The only thing we're forbidden to do is using it or taking it in a vain and empty manner. When I first began to review this, I was surprised at the broad category of behaviors this commandment applies to. Because it's really easy just to take a simplistic view of the third commandment and say, "Well, I don't swear, so I've got this one down. Check that one off the list." But it's much, much more than that. In fact, I feel like all the other commandments are directly tied to this one commandment. If we look back at the word "take" in the commandment, "Thou shalt not take," it also is defined to mean to carry or to bear the name of. So we carry or we bear the name of God as Christians, as the people of God. When someone asks me, I tell them I'm a member of the United Church of God. I wanted to read something from our Ten Commandment book that the United Church of God put out. This is from the Third Commandment chapter. It says, the Third Commandment focuses on showing respect. It addresses the way we communicate our feelings about God to others and to Him. It encompasses our attitudes, speech, and behavior. And then it goes on to say, God demands that we represent Him accurately, sincerely, respectfully, as a condition for having a close relationship with Him. Because those who follow Jesus Christ are known by His name and perform their service to God in His name, their behavior always either honors or dishonors Him. Now, it's been said that our behavior defines us. Well, now I have a better understanding that it's my behavior that has been and still is defining me. About a year and a half to 2 years ago, a friend found me on Facebook, a person from school. This is a person I had not spoke to in over 30 years. And we had some conversations, sent messages back and forth to one another. But I want to share something with you, and this is a condensed version of a conversation we had. This is how she remembered me. What I remember about you was that funny religion you belong to. Well, guess what? I still belong. You know, my mom and I always respected you. Respected what? You never did anything on Saturday or go to school dances or Friday night ball games. And we respected your commitment to that. Now, that's 30 years after the fact that stuck with her. Now, they respected it, but they didn't understand it. But I didn't understand this at the time. But looking back on it, I now realize that I may be the only exposure to the true God or His way of life that this person and her mother may ever have in this lifetime. And not just her, but my neighbors, the people I work with, the people I meet outside this room. So if my behavior is not righteous, if I'm not acting in a righteous manner, if I'm not honoring God with my behavior, I'm blaspheming God and taking His name in vain and could be causing those who are watching me to do the same thing. They may look at me and see what I'm doing and say, what kind of God does he worship that that kind of behavior is okay? And then they begin to ridicule God and they begin to blaspheme God because of my behavior. Paul addresses that condition over in Romans. Romans 2. Romans 2, verses 21 through 24. You therefore who teach another, and we can do that just by the way they watch us. Therefore, you who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through the breaking of the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. It was their behavior amongst the Gentiles that defined them. It was also their behavior amongst the Gentiles that defined their God to the Gentiles. So then, who watches us? Well, my neighbors, they watch us. They know about my religion. They know we go to church every Saturday. They know we don't keep Christmas. They know about the days of unleavened bread. They've even fed our cats for us when we've gone to the feast. So they know. The people I work with know about my religion. It's been discussed several times, sometimes with me, sometimes behind my back. But the point is, they're watching, and they see what I'm doing. I've had people come up to me that I hardly know and ask me why I took vacation time off over Christmas instead of leaving it for a family member who wanted to take vacation time to be with their family for Christmas. So I explained that, you know, I take my family for the winter weekend. But the point is, they're watching, and they're going to call me out on something if they think it's hypocritical. I can't tell you how many times I've had people that I work with. Religion comes up a lot where I work. And I can't tell you how many times people have told me the reason they quit going to church, their local churches, was due to the hypocrisy of the members of their church. They would go out and see them at the weekends at the bars and doing the things that they're at church saying not to do. And so they quit going. So I need to ask myself, you know, what's my behavior like? What example am I setting? Am I leading my family? Is the way I'm raising my children consistent with what they're hearing at church? Because if it's not, I'm showing hypocrisy. And I'm taking God's name in vain, and I'm teaching them the same thing. I wanted to look at something. This was originally not in the idea for this message. Earlier this week, I had just went back into the Proverbs to read one of my favorite Proverbs. And there was something there that kind of surprised me. I'd never seen it before. And Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. And after I read this, I was surprised at how much it did tie into this message. Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Here, the eighth commandment, stealing, was equated to breaking the third commandment. In fact, all these behaviors listed here are equal to breaking the third commandment. How many of you have ever considered that maybe playing the lottery would be a form of taking God's name in vain? I'd never thought of it that way. But it says right here, not to seek riches. Are we seeking more than what God wants to give us? These would be forms of breaking the third commandment. In conclusion, I wanted to read again from the Ten Commandment booklet. It said, we honor God most of all by loving Him so much that we desire above all things to be like Him and to accurately represent Him to everyone who sees us or knows us. If that is our mindset, even the mere thought of ever misrepresenting or disgracing His name will repulse us. Our strongest resolve will be to never knowingly take any of the names of God in vain.